ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3rd चैप्टर 24th चैप्टर नेम रेनाउंसिएशन ऑफ कर्दम मुनि वर्स नंबर 4। सत् सत्वयाराधिता शुक्लो सत्वयाराधिता शुक्लो वितन्वन् मामकं यशः वितन्वन् मामकं यशः चेतते हृदया ग्रंथिम चेतते हृदया ग्रंथिम औदर्य ब्रह्म भावनः औदर्य ब्रह्म भावनः स्वत्वयाराधिता शुक्लो वितान्वन् मामकं यशः चेतते हृदया ग्रंथिम औदार्य ब्रह्म भावनः स्वत्वयाराधिता शुक्लो वितान्वन् मामकं यशः चेतते हृदया ग्रंथिम औदार्य ब्रह्म भावनः। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग सह ही त्वया बाय यू आराधित बीइंग वर्शिप शुक्लः द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड वितान्वन् स्प्रेडिंग मामकम् माय या यशः फेम चेता He will cut. Te, your hridaya of the heart. Granthim, not. Odarya, your son. Brahma, knowledge of Brahman. Bhavanaha, teaching. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, the personality of Godhead being worshipped by you. Will spread my name and fame. He will vanquish the knot of your heart and by becoming your son and teaching knowledge of Brahman. Actually, everyone can repeat. The personality of Godhead being worshipped by you will spread my name and fame. He will vanquish the knot of your heart by becoming your son and teaching knowledge of Brahman. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to disseminate spiritual knowledge for the benefit of all people, He generally descends as the son of a devotee. Being pleased by the devotee's devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is father of everyone. No one therefore is His father, but by His inconceivable energy He accepts some of the devotees as his parents and descendants. It is explained here that spiritual knowledge vanquishes the knot of the heart. Matter and spirit are knotted by false ego. This identification of oneself with matter, which is called Hridaya Granthi, exists for all conditioned souls, and it becomes more and more tightened when there is too much affection for sex life. The explanation was given by Lord Rishabh to his sons that this material world is an atmosphere of attraction between man, male and female. That attraction takes the shape of a knot in the heart, and by material affection it becomes still more tight. For people who hanker after material possessions, society, friendship and love, this knot of affection becomes very strong. It is only by Brahma Bhavana, the instruction by which spiritual knowledge is enhanced, that the knot in the heart is cut to pieces. No material weapon is needed to cut this knot, but it requires bona fide spiritual instruction. Kardam Muni instructed his wife Devahuti that the Lord would appear as her son and disseminate spiritual knowledge to cut the knot of material identification. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Manchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all senior devotees here, because the purport is beyond my scope and realization. It's very interesting to see how Lord Himself is deciding to appear as the son of his devotee Kardam Muni and Devahuti. Actually, this can be said like Lord is deciding to become son of his own son, because we are all part and parcel of the Lord, and he is our Bija Prada Pita, he is our seed giving father. So it is not possible for any human to become son of their own son. Even in two lives it's not possible. But Lord decides that to become son of his own son, because this fulfills the desire of those devotees who really want to have a relationship with the Lord in that mood, where they want to serve the Lord as their parents, which includes... Can you reduce the volume? It's too high. Which includes even chastising the Lord. We see the pastimes of Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, little high. Where Nanda Maharaj is... Hare Krishna. Where Nanda Maharaj, on the instructions of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna carries his slippers on his head and then comes and delivers to Nanda Maharaj. So that's God Himself taking the form of his of a servant, of his own servant. So it's only practically possible by the Lord. None of us material mortal beings can have that relationship, or that capacity is not there. In 4.8, which is a very famous verse, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sansthapana arthaya sambhavami yuge yuge, where the Lord descends to deliver the pious or deliver the devotees and kill the miscreants. In that purport also Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord appears to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. Especially Prabhupada mentions there that specific reason for Krishna's appearance, quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's saying that he appears just for the satisfaction of his devotees, because and while doing it, vinashayata duskritam, killing the miscreants, that happens. So Lord Kapila, who is going to appear, will also appear to satisfy or to fulfill the desires of Mother Devahuti, but the miscreant or the duskrita he is going to kill is using Mother Devahuti's example or her she being the hearer and disseminating the darkness of illusion which is there in us, that disseminating the knowledge to remove the darkness of bodily consciousness which we have, because further we'll see Lord Kapila's teachings which are very cutting and very illuminating as well. So on coming to this verse, there is a very amazing word used here in the line, third line, which is Chetate Hridaya Granthim. So Hridaya Granthi, Granthi means a knot. And Hridaya Granthi means a very strong knot in the heart. And interestingly, the word we use for scriptures also, another word used for scriptures also is Granth. So Granth is that scripture which cuts the granthi or the knot in the heart. So the living entity is spiritual by nature. We have heard it many, many times. And he considers his families, if you read the purport, relations like family, children, his loved ones, his all close and distant relatives. When there is too much attachment which is diverting him away from the purpose of achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, that is referred to as Hridaya Granthi or knot in the heart. So, and which leads to bodily consciousness, which intensifies the bodily consciousness even more and more. And here our process is how to undo the effect of bodily consciousness or the impressions which we have on us from millions of lifetimes, which are so strong, that to undo that damage and come to a platform where we understand we are not the body and we are soul. So these attachments, which is a natural attachment, a natural relationship of which has a natural affection in it, mother and child, husband and wife, relatives. So scriptures never says that there is no need to have any affection or there is no need to have any attachment in such relationships, because they are relationships which will have a natural affection attached to it. But what scriptures talks about a lot is, do not let this knot become very strong in your heart, because when time comes, it will be very hard to cut this knot. So, because ultimately, every individual is on their own journeys, and then all the individuals at a given time they come and they meet. And if while meeting on our journeys, if the knot becomes very strong, then when the journey takes on, then it's very painful, because every individual goes on their own journeys. So, the attachment to body is so intense. If you ask someone, how old are you? So then naturally a calculation starts, okay, what year I was born, and then calculation from there it starts, oh, I was born on this year, so I'm 28, I'm 29, I'm 30. But if you see Bhagavad Gita, it really gives an amazing example where the verse it says, Vasham se jirnani yatha vihaya, where it says the body is like a dress. So it's exactly like if someone asks, how old are you? And then we say, okay, that day I stitched my shirt. And then I stitched my shirt on that day. So I start calculating, oh, how old I am since the day I stitched my shirt. It's exactly like that. Considering oneself to be the body is Bhagavad Gita compares it to the body as a dress. And it's amazing how Krishna gives such example. Like a body is worn out, or a dress is worn out and then we wear another dress. Similarly, the body is worn out, but the attachment is so strong, the granthi within the heart is so strong, the knot is so hard, that 10, 15, 20 Bhagavatam classes or 10, 15, 20 years of Krishna consciousness also may not be able to cut that knot. It is so strong. So, when you ask someone, what is the purpose of this material world? Not a devotee, a common man. Then the natural answer comes is to enjoy. The purpose of this material world is to enjoy. And then we know that Prabhupada's conversation where Prabhupada asked this question to one person, what is the purpose of this world? And he said, the purpose of this world is to enjoy. Then Prabhupada turned it around and says, it said, yes, it is for enjoying, but not yours. It's for Krishna's enjoyment. But if this world is having a purpose where it is for enjoyment, then to counter that argument, there is a reasonable argument one can say that there must be at least one person out of 7 billion or whatever the population is who is actually enjoying. Like if we go to office, the purpose is to get salary. So we know there is a 100% rate where people get salary. You go to office. If someone goes to a movie, one goes to a movie for entertainment. So everyone might not get entertained, but there is a majority of people who get entertained when they go to see a movie. So there is a purpose, and there are proofs of those people who have achieved that purpose. But if someone says, what is the purpose of this place? To enjoy. Then there is not even a single example of a person who is only enjoying. There is so much suffering attached to it. We are not denying that there is happiness here, but that's not the purpose. If their purpose is for enjoyment, then why there is suffering? If someone invites us for prasadam, and then before we have a 10-12 course meal, that person says that you stay in my gutter, the sewage which I have out in front of my house for a few hours, and then you can come to my house and enjoy a nice feast. What kind of enjoyment is that? But when we take birth to this place of which is supposedly we call as place of enjoyment, 9 months a child is in the womb and suffers like anything. It's with all the abominable stuff, and then he comes out with pain. From day one there is suffering. Very difficult to say. Or on what basis, I don't know why people conclude that this place is a place of enjoyment. No. But this understanding can very easily be counteracted if one hears that message which is given by God Himself and repeat that message. And all the great devotees, they are great devotees for this one reason, because they repeat the message of God. By repeating the message of God and by practicing the message of God, when they get their realization, then great devotees, they share their realization also. But it never began by their own realization. It began by message of God, even for the great devotees also. So, and for that one purpose, Kapila Muni is going to take birth soon. In next verse only, I think, is next or next two verses is appearing in the womb of Mother Devahuti. To give this message so that his mother's Hriday Granthi and for all of us, of our Hriday Granthi can be cut to whatever degree practically we can. And then more we hear, then more it becomes stronger. More the knot in the heart is cut. There's some knots are there if you take a rope and then you tie it. And then you again tie it, and then you again tie it, then you put some oil on it, and then you again tie it, and then you tie it. It becomes practically impossible to open that knot. So then you can't just play around with that knot. Then you nearly need something to cut that rope, because it's you just can't do it, untie it. So there are certain attachments in every individual's heart, whether it's attachment to money, attachment to opposite sex, attachment to name, fame, or attachment to family members, or attachment to any given thing, attachment to own gadget, iPhone, iPad, whatever. Some attachments are so strong, it is not over, that for many years, if we are hearing and practicing Krishna consciousness, still that knot in the heart is not cut. So, very strong hit or a very strong tool is required to cut that knot, which cannot happen unless the Lord is kind upon the devotees. Like some devotees, they on their regular basis, they pray to the Lord, which is a very nice prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. When Lord Narsingadev appeared in front of Prahlad Maharaj and he asked him that, I am very pleased with you, you ask something from me. Now, I am very pleased with your devotional service. Now you ask something from me. Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't need anything. I am satisfied with what I have, I don't need anything. Then Lord insisted, no, you ask something. And then Prahlad Maharaj says amazing prayer. He says, Yadi dasasi me kaman varam stom varat arshaba kama nam hriday asamroham bhavtas tu vrine varnam. Yadi dasasi me kaman, if you want to fulfill my desire, if you want to give this benediction, varam stom varat arshaba. Varat arshaba means the best of the giver of benedictions. Give me this benediction, that kama nam hridaya samroham, this material desire should not appear in my heart. No material desire should appear in my heart. And there are so many devotees who every day in front of the deities, they pray this, they say this prayer in front of the Lord, that this, let this desire doesn't come in my heart. Let any material desire not come in my heart. So that's Prahlad Maharaj prayer after Lord asked him, ask for any benediction. So that's a mood of a devotee who is praying, that because this material desire is a cause of Hriday Granthi, which is very hard to cut. When it gets stronger, it's very, very hard to cut. So in this purport, Prabhupada is referring to one of the strongest Hriday Granthi possible in material world, which is attraction between man and woman. And that's why this place is called Maithuna Agra, a house or a place where the most prominent enjoyment is sex life. So I'll just read that particular line and then we'll go to that verse which Prabhupada is referring. This identification of oneself with matter, which is called Hriday Granthi, exists for all conditioned souls, and it becomes more and more tightened when there is too much affection for sex life. The explanation was given by Lord Rishabh to his sons that this material world is an atmosphere of attraction between male and female. And that attraction takes shape of a knot in the heart, and by material affection it becomes still more tight. So in the purport, Prabhupada is referring to a verse from Lord Rishabhdev's teachings, which is in 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 8 and 9, where he says, it's a very powerful verse, he says, Pumsa sthriya maithuni bhavametam tayor mitho hridaya granthi ahu ato griha shetra sutapa vrittair janasya moham aham mameti. We have heard some parts of this verse many times. Aham mameti, I and mine. So this comes from this verse. So the translation is, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the heart of male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. I'll read some part of this purport because it is very, very strong and very effective. It says, sex serves as a natural attraction between man and woman, and when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to entangling relationships between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband or this woman is my wife. Prabhupada says this is called Hridaya Granthi. The hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo. Even though a man and woman separate either for the principle of Varnashram or simply to get a divorce. In any case, man always thinks of woman and woman always thinks of the man. Thus a person becomes materially attached to family, property and children. Although all these are temporary. The possessor unfortunately identifies with his property and wealth. And sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or a few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to family is the strongest illusion. So, very strong purport actually. And just after that verse, I'll just read the translation of next verse when it says, when the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated, and thus one goes to the transcendental world. So, Lord Rishabhdev is suggesting only one solution. Somehow or other, loosen this knot in the heart or cut this knot in the heart. It has to happen for some fortunate, or not fortunate is not the right word, because many practicing family householders also can be more fortunate than renounced order people. But for some people, this hard knot is not even established, and they remain brahmachari, they remain celibate, they remain fully engaged in service of the Lord. And for some people, for whatever reasons, this hard knot is established. But the purpose is, somehow or other, either you loosen it or cut it with time. And that's how the whole Vedic culture is designed, where Varnashram, Vanaprastha and Sannyas is a recommended thing for a householder and for a person who is in family life. Because if this attachment is not cut, if this attachment is not gone from the heart, according to the scriptures, it's very hard to get the desired result, which is Krishna Prem. This attachment has to go from the heart. So, one place there was a description given why. Because one person asked a question to Sankarshan Prabhu also when he was here, that why our Vedic scriptures, or why as devotees we criticize this attraction between male and female so much. So I don't know, I can't repeat the exact answer, but Prabhu was referring that the amount of impression this activity, this engagement between man and woman, it leaves on the performer, the amount of impression it leaves on the consciousness is so intense, the amount of impression it leaves on the practitioner, the person who is engaged in union, the amount of impression it leaves on the consciousness is so intense and so damaging that to think of Krishna for next few days becomes impossible once one engages in these activities. And it's not that after 2, 3, 4 days these impressions are gone. It stays there. And then when a given moment is there, then again he comes back and these impressions, they hit him, and again he engages in those activities. Otherwise, why Lord Rishabhdev has to say that this knot has to be cut? It must be having a very damaging effect on the consciousness for all of us, whoever engages in that. Whereas we see, like in that purport, Prabhupada said, even a renounced man, even a sannyasi, we hear the stories of Prabhupada's god brothers after Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj left, that he was very unhappy because they were just fighting for marble floors and then rooms in Calcutta, that temple. Or we hear some stories where brahmacharis or devotees are fighting for petty things. Prabhupada is saying that you can't compare those attachments. Even though they are also attachment, which a renounced person or sannyasi, even Prabhupada's god brother, when they talk about that they were attached to the marble buildings or the rooms, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very unhappy and he wanted to sell the marble floors and then print books and all. Prabhupada is saying, don't compare these two attachments, that, oh, he is also attached. Yes, he is attached, but that's on a very different level. And this attachment is on a very different level. The most difficult attachment to give up. I'm sorry, the purport is like that. I have zero realization or understanding on this point. I'm just connecting what purport says. And no qualification to speak on that, but what to do. So our spiritual journey or the spiritual practice is all about correcting or rectifying our impressions. The whole sadhana bhakti is just to work on our impressions, which are very negative from so many lifetimes. Because impressions play a major role for any devotee's progress. Because impression is what it's all about. Impressions on the mind, impressions on the consciousness. And our chanting, which is in Sanskrit, it's called sanskar. So from the day conception happens, a sanskar is given to the soul which enters the womb, which actually means an impression is given to the soul which enters the womb before the womb actually. Garbhadhan sanskar, then what other sanskars happen. But then the child is born, then annaparashan. These are all sanskars. And then the whole life goes on, and the whole practice of spiritual life, like kids coming to Bhagavatam, we hearing Bhagavatam, reading scriptures, attending kirtan, chanting, this everything is about giving a sanskar or impression to the consciousness, to the mind, to the self, because impression is what it's all about. And then a person goes and engages in certain activities where he, on internet, he sees something, or physically he engages in certain activities or hears about it. Like scripture says, to be attached to a woman is one thing, but one should not be attached to that person also who is attached to a woman. Because that's what he's going to talk all about all the time. Narasimha Kavach Prabhu was once mentioning that when you work with people outside here, it is so degrading, it's so contaminating on the consciousness that they speak on such a low level when they see a woman, because that's what they're thinking all the time. That's what is there in the consciousness. And one devotee was telling me that he works in a company where girls and boys, they work together. And he was saying, the girls also talk like that when a customer enters the shop. They also talk like that, the same as a man talks. Because that's the whole concept. That's the whole. Krishna just didn't, the scripture doesn't say this Matthew and Agra just for the sake of saying it, that this is the place of sex. The whole driving principle is that only. And the whole, I don't know, it's amazing how, when I heard that, when he said even girls talk about that when they see, I was thinking, oh, this makes the scripture so true that everyone, Prabhupada says in this purport, a man is thinking of woman and a woman is thinking of man. That's what is happening, that's what it's all about. Just by hearing about the Lord, this attachment to opposite sex, these certain petty attachments can go from the heart. If we read the 10th canto, that section, or even in Krishna book where rasa dance or the Krishna's intimate relationship with the gopis is mentioned, Prabhupada says that by hearing these pastimes from a bona fide source, attraction that a male has for female and female has for male will reduce. just by hearing these intimate pastimes of the Lord from a bona fide source, this attraction will cut in. Krishna Bhakti Prabhupada says, so this is the potency of the power of hearing Bhagavad Katha from the Lord. There is a funny story. Once there was a speaker, he was giving a Bhagavatam class, and he was giving very deep Bhagavatam class, and then the audience was not very interested. So he was speaking for 1 hour, 2 hours, he kept on going for 2-3 hours he was speaking, and then gradually, one after another, people started leaving the room. One person left, 2 person left, then slowly whoever was in the room, they started leaving. But one person was sitting there, and then he was hearing with so much focus and attention that this guy was thinking, like Prabhupada says, "Now I am not here for many stars, I am here for one moon." When Prabhupada went to the West, many people told him that, "Why are you preaching so heavy? You can soften your teachings, many followers will come, don't preach about illicit sex, don't talk too much about changing your lifestyle, you also change your lifestyle, you wear coat suit, you take knife and fork, start eating, you have to eat meat if you want to survive." Then Prabhupada said, "I am not here for many, many stars who are useless in night, they can't even glow up the night. I am here for one moon who is alone enough to give brightness to the whole dark night. So I am here for, if one pure devotee I can make, my mission is successful." So similarly, this man is thinking, "Oh, if this one person who is so attentively hearing, I'll just change his life." He kept on going on and on and on and on. Then this guy was just sitting with rapt attention, with so much focus, he's listening. And then after 3 hours went, and then he also tired, the speaker is also tired. Now he decided, "Let me finish. I'll go and talk to him, try and preach." And then he asked, he said, "I'm amazed, I'm very inspired to see your attentiveness, your eagerness to hear. You were sitting and hearing the katha. What inspired you to sit for so long? Everyone went, but you were there." He said, "Nothing inspired. You were sitting on a blanket. I was waiting for my blanket. You were using my blanket. So once you finish, then I can take my blanket and go." So that type of Bhagavad Katha will not help. That type of hearing will not help a person who is attending or hearing. But when we read what Bhagavatam says, believe me or not, or scriptures actually do say that, and we all are proofs of that, that it does work on the heart. It does work on the heart. Otherwise, Krishna would not say in Bhagavad Gita, "Janma karma cha me divyam." Just by knowing my birth and my activities, no more birth again. One will not take birth again. There is a very amazing verse that comes in Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, which gives a hint why it is very difficult to give up this attachment or this attraction, which says, it's 7th canto, sharing chapter number 7 and verse number 11 to 13, but we'll just read the first one. It says, "Katham priyaya anukampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchiram chamantran suhritsu tatsneha sita shishunam." Yeah, I think that's the verse. The translation is, "How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their picture, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who can give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words." Actually, it's so attractive, you know, kids, and they can't recite even the name probably, Tata, Tata. Instead of Papa, they will say Tata, Tata, something. And then the father is always thinking, "Sorry, the purport is like that. I should not be speaking this, but I'm just trying to be fair on the purport." How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents, one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Bhagavatam is saying, how could one give this association? And in giving one after another, household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture and there are also many animals and servants. How could one give up this association? Katham priyaya. Who can give up that association? Very difficult, very hard. But there is a process and we have so many examples. And for that, one doesn't need to become a renowned brahmachari or a sannyasi. A very amazing story is of a disciple of Ramanujacharya. His name was Dhanurdas. You might have heard this story, but I'll repeat it. This is Dhanurdas. He was a person who was very attached to his wife's beautiful eyes. And he was so attached that he would never let his wife go away from him. He would always keep his wife with him to see his eyes. So once he was on the street and he was just gazing at his wife's beautiful eyes. And Ramanujacharya happened to pass by with his followers. I think they were taking a Shobha Yatra of their deity or something was happening. And he saw this man in public. These are those times. Now Ramanujacharya cannot complain. Because whom he'll complain to, you know. So this one person in public, he was looking, gazing at the eyes of that girl, that woman. And Ramanujacharya said, why are you doing like this? What is the reason? Why are you gazing in public? And he said, see her eyes, how beautiful it is. I have not seen anything more beautiful than this. Ramanujacharya said, no. Dhanurdas, he challenged. He said, if you can show me something more beautiful, I'll become your follower. So Ramanujacharya called him to the temple and he prayed to Ranganath ji, his deities, that today you please do some favor on this Dhanurdas, who he later became, I think, Dhanurdas, on this soul and attract him by your beauty. And this person, when he sees the beauty of Ranganath ji, who is Krishna, he becomes so attracted to the beauty of Ranganath ji's eyes that he told Ramanujacharya, yes, you were right. Nothing can compare, even that woman's beautiful eyes cannot compare to the beautiful eyes of Ranganath ji. So he accepted Ramanujacharya as his guru and then they became so close. He was one of the most intimate disciples of Ramanujacharya, even though he was a family man. Then Ramanujacharya made both of them get married because he said this is a proper way. You get married and you stay together and you serve the Lord. You serve Ranganath ji like that. So this person became so attached to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya was also very intimate with him, that other followers, other disciples who were in renounced orders, they became envious of this Dhanurdas. So they were complaining all the time to Ramanujacharya, about finding faults with him, telling mistakes, this is what he did. And Ramanujacharya wanted to show them the position of Dhanurdas, how exalted, how great this personality is. So one day Ramanujacharya told Dhanurdas to stay with him during the night. And he told his followers, you go to his house and go and steal the jewelry which is there in the house and his wife is wearing, everything you steal and come. And somehow made Dhanurdas stay that night with him. So the disciples, they went to Dhanurdas' house. His wife was sleeping. And they entered the house and they started stealing whatever they could steal. And while they were taking the jewelry of his wife out, she woke up. But then she saw that, oh, Vaishnavas have come to my house to steal money. These are my guru's disciples, my god brothers. There must be an emergency in the temple and that's why they have come. That's for her. That was her consciousness. There must be some emergency that they have come here to steal. So what she thought, see, the way I am sleeping, they will not be able to take my necklace out. So if I move the other side, they can easily take my necklace out. So pretending that she is still asleep, she turns around on the other side so that they can take the necklace out. But they thought that she is woken up and they got scared and they ran away with whatever they had stolen. And then When they reached there, Ramanujacharya told Dhanurdas, now you go home. So he leaves to his house and they told his disciples, now you go and see what he does. They wanted them to see the exalted nature, the qualities of Ramanujacharya's very intimate disciple Dhanurdas. So they go to Dhanurdas' house and they are outside hearing. And Dhanurdas' wife says, this is what has happened. Our god brothers, Guru Maharaj, must have sent. They had come to steal all this jewelry. They came to steal. And now, what happened? I wanted them to take everything I had. So I just turned around. And they got scared and they ran. And Dhanurdas started chastising his wife. Why did you move? Why did you even move? So that they get scared. You should have allowed them to take everything possible from our house. Because everything belongs to Ranganath ji anyways. Nothing is ours. So this is a great example of a householder. A person who was actually in that purpose says, no material weapon is needed to cut this knot, but it requires bona fide spiritual instructions. So this person had got a bona fide spiritual instruction from Ramanujacharya, who had taken to his heart and his knot was not there. Otherwise it's not possible to act like this. And the disciples, when they heard Dhanurdas, they became so ashamed, they fell at his feet and they asked forgiveness from Dhanurdas. Even in Prabhupada's example, when Prabhupada, in that time in India, multiple marriages were allowed. So Prabhupada was married, but he didn't like his wife much. So he went and told his father, I want to marry another girl. So that means he would have two wives. Father said, no. You're fortunate, and this will be a great fortune for you, that you don't like your wife. That's Prabhupada's pastime, we all know. I'm just repeating it. You're fortunate that you're not very much attached to your wife. And later Prabhupada says that was such an instruction which my father gave, which saved me from whatever he's going to do. So, so many great examples are there. And the only way to cut this knot is the hearing process from bona fide sources, and the bona fide instructions are the only way to cut this knot. And we can pray to the Lord that we all of us can cut all the knots in our hearts and become attached to Him like Dhanurdas did. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or chastisement? You are fortunate, Prabhu.
Sorry?
You are very fortunate if that is your realization. Because if that is what you are most attached to, then prasad will solve the problem. But majority are not. Majority are struggling with other issues.
The reason why I said that is, you said they are on this body. Tell that to a person who starved without food. What does that mean?
No, I gave a class who will eat prasad straight away after the class. So they are not starving. So the audience is different. To him I will say something else. I will not talk about this subject matter. Because the need is different. Even the Lord speaks to the person based on the need of the person. Our process is not just to go and then push down the throat the philosophy, whatever we want to give. We help the person the way he needs help. So if he needs food first, then we give him prasad first, then we tell him you are not the body. Not before, but we will tell the same story again. I mean, same philosophy will be told to him, but after giving prasad. And that's what we do. That's what prasad distribution is all about. So many students, homeless people, backpackers, they don't have food to eat. They come to temple. After eating only we tell them, you're not the body. Or after telling, we send them upstairs for prasad after the class. So either ways. Yes, Prabhuji.
How do you encouragement for your duties when you're not attached to anybody?
First of all, it doesn't say that there is no need to have any attachment. They are natural objects of attachment. Naturally, attachment is there. What scriptures is saying that our attachment has to be for the loved ones in relationship to Krishna. Understanding that they are also part and parcel of the Lord. Suppose I have this iPad. There is one way to get attached is that I am the owner of this iPad. And the other way to get attached is this is Krishna's property which I have to take care. And it is under my care. So I protect and I make sure that no one damages it. So outside it can appear attachment. Outside it can appear attachment. But actually its understanding is very deep and clear that this is Krishna's property. I am taking care of it. Similarly, the family members, if a child is there, if you are cutting vegetables, suppose during service in temple and child cuts his finger, it is very, very foolish to say, to act in a way that service is more important, his finger, let him take care of him, his own cut finger by himself, because I am doing service for Krishna. Ultimately, my relationship is with Krishna. Even Krishna will get upset by your own behavior. And that's why Prabhupada said that for parents, their deities are their kids. Understanding that they are Krishna's responsibility given to the parents. Not just attachment like that verse was saying, just being attached on thinking whole day about the broken language of the child and all. So our duties can be very easily spiritualized if a relationship with the Lord is seen. Otherwise, there is no hope. There is no hope. It's not possible. You're going to work. One very fanatical way of working is not being attentive at work, because I'm a devotee of Krishna, I'm not the body. Yes, you're not the body, very soon you'll be sitting home, because they'll kick you out. Because you're not working properly. So you have to work properly, efficiently. Actually, one should be a best husband, best father, best employee, best student, best everything, because he's a devotee of Krishna, because Krishna is the best. But what is the best? Giving Krishna to the dependents and sharing Krishna with the colleagues. That then become best of all. And be the best. Do your duties properly. You can't show a good example to the world when you yourself are not taking care of your child, or you're not yourself taking care of the family. Wife needs some affection, and then you're saying, I'm not the body. You're not the body. Then naturally she'll seek affection outside. What to do? This is the reality. Anything else? Yes, Mataji. You're praying for the good health of your kids. Anyways, you come with bad health also, you come for Mangala Arati. But for us, we need good health to come from Mangala Arati also. But yes, if health is not good, actually, health is first, then sadhana, then seva. Isn't it? So health is first. I remember just few days back, many devotees were sick. Those were the worst days when chanting and reading was most affected. Then naturally, if I could have taken some precautions 2 days before, I would have saved that damage or that unnecessary bad sadhana for 10 days or whatever days. We all go through that stage. So if for that reason, if you're praying to the Lord, why not? Sometimes, one person asked me this question. Can we pray to the Lord for anything? He is the only shelter we have. And if we need something, He is the only source we go to. So we should pray. we should pray to the Lord, but keeping this clarity very much there, that what is the purpose of my praying. And of course, if your health is not good, then how much can you push yourself? After a few months, a few weeks, when it breaks down, then you have to be on the bed. Then no service. Sadhana gets affected. Bhaktivinoda Samit Maharaj once was telling that the worst sadhana you can have is when your health is not good. Then why not pray to the Lord that, okay, please take me out of this situation so that I can have my sadhana seva properly. No. Actually, spiritual life is all about what is the intention of approaching the Lord. The whole thing is on a platform where the whole mood of a devotee is what counts when approaching the Lord. Even while praying, even while doing any service or practically anything. For me, the problem is I cannot remember Krishna when I am sick. Mind is so disturbed. Mind is so attached to the body. So much body, already there is extreme bodily consciousness. Then when you are sick, then it doubles, triples. So Queen Kunti is on a platform where she is auntie of Krishna. She is auntie of Krishna. Face to face. Her prayers are showing us what our reality is. If even one thing which Queen Kunti went through comes to our life, I guarantee we all will leave Krishna consciousness. If one thing happens to us. If one problem which Queen Kunti faced comes to us, we will become atheist. But Queen Kunti is on a different level. And can you imagine if our son is poisoned and thrown in the river? You will ask Krishna that give me this, let my son be poisoned again and throw in the river. Draupadi getting disrobed in the whole assembly, and then who will pray that let it happen again? It's not possible. So these prayers are there, which are very exalted, because it shows the intense devotion and the position of these great devotees, which is Queen Kunti. Honestly speaking, if someone has a realization that this is not deity, just a metal or marble or wood, it is Krishna, no one will dare and say this, give me more problems. Even artificially, we will not be able to go and pray in front of the Lord that give me more trouble so that I can remember you like Queen Kunti. If one has that realization, childishly one can go and say, oh yes, I heard this prayer, very nice. If you know this is Krishna, standing in front of us and has complete real understanding, it's not easy to pray like that. Give me more trouble so that I can remember you more and more. It's not easy. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.